I did want to ask both the children and the adults if they could remember the day they were born.
Robin, yes?
You can tell me your birthday. I thought you probably could tell me what your birthday was, but can you remember what happened then? No, Beatrice is shaking her head. No. We don't know what happened the day we were born. If we have to rely on asking our parents, or for one or two of you, asking your older brothers and sisters who might remember what happened that day. As I've told this congregation before now, I have two older sisters. I'm the youngest, and so I get stories told against me. I was born in the era when many people were born at home. In fact, my two older sisters were born in hospital. But my mother was told that having had two normal births in hospital, there was no need to come in for number three. I could be born at home. There was this wonderful character called the district midwife who came round to help oversee home births. The district midwife for where we lived, where I was born in Coventry, had her day off on Tuesday. What day of the week did yours truly arrive? Tuesday. We know the date, as Robbie's just told me when his birthday is. 12th of July, was that? I've even got the year as well, so we know how old he is. Right, 10 this year, get it right, yes. Yes, Mum's nodding. We know the date, and we celebrate our birthday. But our gospel reading this morning about Nicodemus, a character who appears in John's gospel and comes to see Jesus by night, presumably because he didn't want the other Pharisees to know that he was consulting this unofficial rabbi. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you need to have not one, but two birthdays. Now, children, what do you think about that? Good idea?
No, the Queen has one of
those. Thank you very much. I've just been told the Queen has one of those. Yes, she has two birthdays, doesn't she? Queen of England, the head of the Commonwealth, etc. she has her official birthday as well as her has a our actual physical birthday, exactly. Paddington Bear does as well. Right, thank you. Anyway, yes. What Jesus says is that to Nicodemus and to us, he says, you need to be, as our translation put it, born from above, as other translations put it, born again or born anew. The word in the Greek has the same, well, can be translated in all those ways. Born again, born from above, born anew. And if you look at footnotes in modern translations, it will give one in the text and another in the footnote. He goes on to say we need to be born of water and the Spirit. And I think it's usually understood to mean to have a physical birth, that date of birth that we know is our birthday, but also spiritual birth. You may ask, why does Jesus say this in response to Nicodemus? Because Nicodemus comes to him and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. I think actually Jesus probably cut him off halfway through his sentence because he's trying to butter him up, isn't he? You know, Jesus, you're wonderful. And then he wants to get his question and Jesus comes straight at him. Nicodemus, you need to be born from above or born again. Why did Jesus say that? Well, of course, Nicodemus was a Jew, a Jewish religious leader, a Pharisee. And they all believe that being born a Jew made them obviously a better person before God. They were God's chosen people. But what Jesus is saying, that you don't become part of God's kingdom, receive eternal life, because of where you were born or the race of your parents. No, you become part of God's kingdom by being born again or born from above, having spiritual birth or rebirth. Well, how does this happen? Well, Jesus reminds Nicodemus of an Old Testament story. If you go to the book of Numbers in chapter 21, you will see the story of how the children of Israel misbehaved, disobeyed God, and he sent these serpents that bit people and they died. And Moses prays to God, and he basically is told to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, hold it up, and everybody who looks at it will receive life, will recover. And Jesus says that he uses it as a foreshadowing, that story, as a which Nicodemus obviously knew, as any good Jew would know, as foreshadowing what will happen to himself. He will be lifted high upon a cross. One of the many examples in the Gospels of the prediction of the cross that Jesus makes in advance of his death on the cross. And then he explains in far greater detail in probably one of the most famous verses from the whole of the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Of course, if you watch any major sporting event on television, you'll see somebody in the crowd sometimes holding up this banner that says John 3:16. So anybody who doesn't know their Bible will suddenly grab their Bible and look at it. I can never understand the reason for doing it. But it is a wonderful verse, for it explains spiritual birth, how to be born again or born anew or born from above. So let's think and hold on to this verse this morning. For God so loved the world. And that's the first point. For God so loved the world. He's saying to Nicodemus, not just the Jewish people, not just our own particular race. The English have a bad habit of thinking that God is an Englishman. Some Americans, particularly on the right wing, sometimes think that they are particularly a God's chosen nation under God. But no, God's love is for all people. God so loved the world, Jew and Gentile, whatever race or nationality. Very appropriate verse to this congregation where, looking around, we can usually do the arithmetic and work out there's double figure nationalities sitting in the pews. And that love for all people has been expressed in the gift of his Son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. To teach, to heal, to show us how to live, all yes. But, speaking of Moses lifting up the serpent and looking up at the cross, to die on the cross, to be lifted up, as John puts it here in his gospel. God so loved the world, all people, that he gave his only Son. So that everyone who believes in him. God's love expressed in Jesus demands from all of us a response, to believe, to have faith, to trust in Jesus, his work of redemption on the cross, not just to trust in our race or in our place of physical birth, but to be born from above, spiritually reborn by coming to Jesus, confessing our failures, and finding the salvation that he has won for us on the cross. I said earlier about the joke of having two different birthdays, and Isabel pointed out that Queen Elizabeth has her official one and natural one. And some people, of course, can often point to that day when they came to that realization of God's love for them in Jesus, and they responded, and they see it as their spiritual birthday. Some people have what is often called, like St. Paul, a Damascus Road experience. But for many people, that coming to faith is a gradual experience, as they slowly understand God's love in Jesus, and they respond to it. And both are valid, I would want to say. If you had a dramatic experience of coming to faith, wonderful. If you had a gradual one, equally wonderful. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him, and that can be a sudden or a gradual experience, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. When we're physically born, we have new life. New life is born. It's a wonderful thing to happen. To be reborn, to be born spiritually from above, born again, however you put it, brings the promise of eternal life. In many respects, once again, we have this funny thing of, yes, we have it now, but not yet. The promise is there, yet, of course, at the moment, we don't experience fully eternal life, the life of God's kingdom. And we know, of course, one thing eventually, that we will die. But we actually pray, as we will later in this service, for the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But that is the promise that comes from belief in what Jesus has done for us, the promise of eternal life. So this morning, let us thank God for our physical birth. We have a birthday to celebrate. Some of us, as we get older, sometimes wish that we didn't have so many birthdays to celebrate. But also, let us thank God, if we have come to faith, for our spiritual rebirth. And remember that it is God's love for the whole world expressed in Jesus that we celebrate. He gave his son. We are called to believe, to put our faith and trust in him, and know the promise of eternal life. And it isn't just for us, it is for the whole world. And in turn, it is our responsibility to share God's love with all the world, to take that good news out with us as we leave worship this morning. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.